Well, please, and we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. While you're turning there, some of you know Wayne and Chris Nelson, and Chris has been unable to be in church for actually a couple years. He has, fell off. All right, it's down there somewhere. All right, how in the world? Okay. Could hear my heartbeat, boom, boom, boom. Some of you know Chris Nelson, and she's been fighting a degenerative lung disease and other things this quite a while. But some folks been sending her some cards, and that just lights her up. So if you think about sending a card to Chris Nelson, the address out here, we can get out of the directory. If you want to send her a card, I know she'd appreciate that very, very much. And also, we're supposed to do a walkthrough and settle for the house for the teacher's housing that we bought, okay, this week. And so we're getting to the point where we will take, Lord willing, take possession on Wednesday. And so we're actually looking for some things now. We could probably use a bedroom suit or two. We could probably use a nice dining room set, or not huge, not a big fancy thing, but a kitchen dining area. Sofa, love seat type thing, some chairs. And I also would like to have, I'm thinking about getting three small sets of pots and pans. There's going to be three ladies in there, and they each can have their own set. That way, we don't have to worry about what somebody else has, and it's, I don't want to use this, but it's already dirty, and da-da-da-da-da. So I'm thinking maybe just three small sets or something. But I don't, if you have something like that, let me know. And to be honest with you, I'm going to want it to match, okay? I'm going to want it to look good. I don't want something all scraped up, full of holes, you know, all dirty, the dog wet on, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to be mean. I mean, I don't want to do that to our teachers. We want to take good care of our teachers. And so if you have some things you'd like to share, you let me know. And meantime, we'll be looking around here and there and yon. There's several places I think we can probably get some things inexpensively, but yet good quality. So, but if you think about it, if you have anything that you were particularly trying to figure out what to do with, you just didn't want to throw in the trash because it was too nice, but you didn't want around the house anymore, let us know, and maybe it's something we can use. All righty. 2 Peter chapter 1. We were in here last week, and we're working on this a little bit. We're going to do a little bit more here today. And I'm going to read this passage, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse number 9. And then we're going to, we have a message here today. I really need you to listen. This can transform a Christian life. I really believe it. What we're going to talk about today, I hate to say, is more rare than it should be. This should be normal Christianity. The problem is we're so used to subnormal as being normal that this seems like it's way up here. And the thing is, it's not difficult. And it's not really in our power to do it. But God can do it through us. And you're going to understand what I'm talking about here as we get going. We read this passage last week, and there's a few things we'll touch on, but there's one spot where I'm going to really concentrate on today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Basically, that verse is saying this. Simon Peter says, you know what? I'm just a sinner saved by grace by everybody, just like everybody else. I'm talking to Christians who have obtained like precious faith. They've received Christ as their Savior. And I'm just talking to normal folks here. If you go back and read the Gospels, you know that Peter was just normal folk. And in fact, maybe a little subnormal sometimes. I don't know, but we pick on him, and he had his issues. But the Lord used him in a great way. And it was, again, the Lord who used him, not that Peter worked himself out, but that the Lord worked in his life. Now, he says, now, under you red or saved folks here, which I'm glad includes all of us, verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge, the getting to know of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, in other words, going along right beside what I've just said here, here's how we're going to do it. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Watch, for if these things be in you, and here's a key word, and abound. If these things are in you, and there's a bunch of it there, I mean, it's just all over you. You're spending a lot of time. You're really growing in this. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to have children, okay? Barren. It means your life will not be a dry wilderness. There's an awful lot of Christians who are still depressed, suicidal, living in a world where it's like there's a big void. There's emptiness, and life is just a wilderness. It shouldn't be like that, folks. It doesn't have to be like that, because he's given you great and precious promises. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Let's have a word of prayer. And today I'm going to talk on this line right here. Partaking of the divine nature. Partaking of the divine nature. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, there are some wonderful, joyous things we're going to learn here this morning. And yet they're very serious. And Lord, there's so many folks that miss out of their Christian life because they're not willing to abound in these things. And Lord, today I want to give them just a taste of what it is that they could be abounding in. So Lord, give us your wisdom. We ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us. I ask to be a Spirit-filled speaker this morning. We can't talk about the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit being our teacher. And Lord, I pray that we be Spirit-filled hearers as well. May this be the beginning of a new life for many of our folks here. And we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Many Christians have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, as the old verse says. But many Christians never go much farther in their walk with the Lord than that. They taste it. They know it's there. If we really want to experience God, we can do so. If we really want to experience what God can do in our lives and see the full victory that we can have over sin and over the flesh and over the devil, we need to abound in him. It says, if these things, and we're not going to talk about these things today, but I wanted you to see, if these things, whatever they may be in you and abound, that will make you that you be not barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ or the Father. If we are lacking in these things, we will be blind. In other words, just can't figure life out, just can't see things the way we should, and unable to see afar off, and have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. Now, in other words, if you're not abounding in these things, you're really not going to be prepared to meet the challenges of life. And you are setting yourself up for failure, or at least limiting your victories. And even though you are a Christian and have seen and have had access to all the blessings of heaven, you're going to miss out on a lot of them. A defeated Christian is simply a believer who's not willing to be all in. You know what we're talking about? He's all in. We talk about living the victorious Christian life, and yet many Christians never experience it. We talk about overcoming the world and the flesh and the devil, and we rejoice in the prospects of that. But many never actually see these things come to fruition because they never sell out to the Lord. Many are playing Christian, but are not actually living it in their heart. They want the wisdom and the insight of God rather than being blind and unable to see afar off. But they are still looking at the world through the eyes of the world and the eyes of flesh. They are afraid to be all in when it comes to the Word of God. They follow the Word of God as long as it agrees with what they're thinking. But when the Word of God seems extreme or out of touch with reality or out of touch with their way of thinking, all of a sudden they're willing to lay the Word of God aside and go on their own instincts instead. And then we wonder why we still don't have the victories that God says he's promising us. Now, I'm going to address what these things that we're supposed to be adding to our faith are in another message. Today, I want us to see what our lives can be like if we determine to diligently abound in these things. Now, quickly from last week. Number one, this is from last week here. He says, I'm going to give you exceeding great and precious promises. Let me remind you, exceeding great means beyond our comprehension, greater than we can kind of think. It's a promise. It's a promise. A promise is when someone announces what they're going to do, and then they're committed to do it. Well, God, who cannot lie, has announced some promises here, and he's committed to do it. And he can do it. He has the power to do it. He has the integrity to do it. God will do it. Why isn't it happening? Then apparently the problem's on our side of the equation. It's not on his side of the equation. He says, I'll give you great and precious promises. Ephesians 3 says this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He listened. He says, I've got some precious promises I want you to have, and I can do it. And he says, they're precious promises. I told you last week that word precious means it's valuable because it's rare. You know, listen, there's an awful lot of Christians who have really never seen or have seen very few people who are living and making good use of the promises that God gives them. We live in an era of mediocre Christianity. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here is a mediocre Christian. I'm not beating you up here. But the fact is, we see so blessed little of it. And we think this is the way life is just supposed to be. And God says, no, I've got something better. He just said here, I want you to know all the fullness of God, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's that power? Is that? That's the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you receive Christ your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. That means you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the Holy Spirit. You have him. The problem is, we tell the Holy Spirit to go sit in the back over there in the corner and stay out of our lives, stop messing with us, and let me go ahead and live my life the way I want. And then we wonder why we are fighting a losing battle, because we're fighting in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Now, folks, let me say this. I know, don't get weird. I'm not getting weird on you here, but this is supernatural. This is supernatural. It's not about turning over a new leaf. You could turn over the whole tree. It's not going to change anything. You need something, you need to be made new on the inside. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And I know we hear this passage, and of course he leads Nicodemus to the Lord, and da, 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 and so forth and so on. But really, Nicodemus comes to him and he says, Lord, we know that you're of God, because no man could do the things that the miracles that you do if God were not with him. And when Jesus answers that, it's like he's coming out of the middle of nowhere. He says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. What? What does that have to do with what I just said? It sounds like he just changed the subject. No, he didn't. Nicodemus says, you know, there's something different about you, Jesus. You're not like anybody else. Your attitude's different. When folks jump down your neck, somehow or other you love them back. When they abuse you, you care for them. When somebody leaves things on the wrong side of the tracks and you ought to just kind of discard them, he says, you go looking for them. And then there's things in your life that you're able to do things that I just never seen before. And the answer that Jesus gives him says, yeah, you know why that is? Because the Spirit of God is in me, and if you want the Spirit of God in you, you can have it too. You must be born again. The Spirit must be born inside of you. That's really what he was saying. And I'm telling you, listen, you know Christ as your Savior. If you truly know Christ as your Savior, amen, the Spirit's been born in you. Now, what do you do with the Spirit that is inside you? That's what we're talking about today. So, God gives great and precious promises. Second, we learned now that what he wants in our life is for the grace of God to be multiplied. What's the grace of God? The divine influence of God. He says, I want God working in your life multiplied, bunches of it. I want oodles, abounding, and God doing great things. This is not saying, listen, some people go their entire life, and there's one time in their life they said, you know, God did this for me. Well, that's good. But what about tomorrow? Now, the fact is, if we would just open up and see what God does, you might see a lot of little things that God has done. We just missed it. But there's an awful lot of folks who don't see God doing great and mighty things in their life because they're not abounding in him. They're not abounding in these things. He says, I want grace to abound. The miracle working God of God abounding in your life. And then he says to have the peace abounding in your life, be multiplied in your life. Listen, if you know God's in control and God's going to take care of you, what do you have to worry about? What do you have to worry about? Be careful for nothing but all things, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So you're just crazy. Listen, anybody who's not worried about what's going on in the world today is loopy up here. He's not paying attention. I can't do a whole lot about it anyway. I can vote, and I can do those kind of things. I'm going to do what I can. But who's in charge? God is in charge. So why am I worrying about it? I need to do what I need to do. I need to encourage the right things. I need to vote right, so forth, and so on, and so on. But I'm not going to sit there and lay awake about what's going on in the world. I mean, what could be going on in the world that we're in the last days, and we're going to be gone here. Well, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm not worried about that either. What a wonderful thing. So he says, I want grace and peace to be multiplied on you. And then he says, I have given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When we got the Holy Spirit, he gives us everything, access to everything we need of life, the mundane things of life, the marriage, the boss, the kids, dealing with your weight. I don't know where that came from, but I just threw it in there. I don't know. That was for somebody. I don't know who it was. But listen, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. And he says, I'll give you that pertaining to life, the normal things of life. And then he said, godliness. That means your spiritual life. I just wish I could have faith. I just wish I could live like Christ. He says, I've given you everything you need for that. You can have the character of God. You can have the knowledge of the Holy, which is wisdom. And he says you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have all kinds of things. He says, listen, if we are going to abound, giving all diligence to abound in these things. And he says that, and then finally he says, my promise is this. He says, I called you, verse 3, unto glory and virtue. You know, there's an awful lot of folks get down to the end of their life and they have messed themselves up. Alex Murdahl owned a farm of 1,700 acres and all the things that he had. God called him to glory and virtue, but that's not where he ended up. God has called you to glory and virtue. Are you getting it? Or, you know, if we don't do it the way God's way, instead of glory, we get embarrassment, shame. Instead of virtue, we get weakness, laziness, fear. Says that's not what he wants. And then we give you something new here today. Verse number 4, 2 Peter, number 1, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We'll talk about that a little bit more next time. He says, I want you to be partakers of the divine nature. Every once in a while, our family will get together and have dinner, and we'll go over to Texas Roadhouse. And usually, amen, preaching now. And when the whole family goes over to Texas Roadhouse, we usually get one of those onion blossoms. Now, they're not making them as big as they used to, but I mean, for a while, they were as big as a dinner plate. You know, they were huge. And so we all start partaking of the onion blossom. It's there for everybody. In fact, there's plenty there for everybody. In fact, tell you the truth, a lot of times I'll eat the onion blossom when the meal comes. I'll put it in a box and take it home. So I'm all full of onion blossom. But anyway, we all are partakers. Now, you can sit there. Now, I, you know, when it comes, I grab a big handful, you know, and I put it on my plate there before the kids get to it. And Janet will pick a few out, and, you know, she'll have that and so forth. But, you know, I want to get as much as I can. There's an awful lot of folks who live their Christian lives like that. They just kind of taste, see, that's good, but that's all I want. Not me. I want the handfuls. See what I'm saying? I want a handful. And I want a handful of what God has for me, has planned for me as a Christian. Is I want to abound. I don't want to just see little drops. You hear with that old song, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessings, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. What I'm saying, God gives us mercy drops. God takes care of everything. Listen, we had breath to get up this morning. So he has mercy on us. He's taking care of us. However, he says, I got great and precious promises. Well, I don't know how to, I'm just having trouble getting through life. He says, but I'll give you the things that you have, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Oh. And we'll bring it to glory and virtue. Oh. Now he says, one of the things you're going to get when you do this, he says, you will be partakers of the divine nature. Now, what's the word partaker mean? It means a sharer, a shareholder, an associate in the enterprise, partners with, to have in common. He says, I want you all to have some of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be a sharer of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see the Holy Spirit working in your life. And how's that? In the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. We get to share in the nature of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so how much of the Holy Spirit do you want? I want a bunch. I want to get every blessing I can get from him. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled means be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. In other words, get some today, get some more tonight, get some more tomorrow, get tomorrow after lunch. Listen, he said, yield to him, let the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a lot of crazy things going on. Everybody's different. I'm not talking about a lot of crazy things, but the fact is a lot of us don't realize we have a Holy Spirit, a divine nature. Now watch this. He says, well, aren't you partakers of the divine nature? Now, when God created the world, he established the laws of nature. One of the laws of nature is that we reproduce after our own kind. Okay? We reproduce after our own kind. There's a certain nature. For instance, there's different breeds of dogs have a different nature. You know? If you got a Jack Russell Terrier, you know, yeah, that's what they are. You walk in the room, there's, and then you've got a golden retriever. Then you got a German Shepherd. You know what I'm saying? And then you got a poodle. You know. Now, dogs are dogs, but they all have their own personality. I know, I understand that. But certain breeds have certain characteristics. That's their nature. A pig wallows in the mud. It's its nature. Okay? A raccoon washes everything it's going to eat. That's why they're always down by the creek. Where I came from, they were cricks. But they would wash everything that they eat. That's their nature. There is such thing as human nature. Well, that's just human nature. But there's also something as a divine nature. And God says, I want you to be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we start producing after our own kind. God will produce a divine nature. Humans are living in a corrupt nature. They exhibit the work of the flesh. It's their nature. But humans who are living after the Spirit of God have a new godly nature of righteousness because they're walking in the Spirit. It's now part of their nature. I did a whole series of messages years ago on this, and I did a message called Dogfight. And I gave this illustration. The illustration is that some years ago, there had been some evangelists who came through some of the reservations, the Indian reservations out west, and there had been a great revival, but it had been many, many years. And at this point, there was only like one old chief that was still alive that went through the revival and was still trying to live for the Lord. And another evangelist had heard about it, and he was just kind of curious, and he was passing through. And he stopped, and he found out where the old man was. And so he went out to the reservation, went into his tent, was talking to this old chief. And the more he talked to him, the more godly he realized this chief was. And how he had the nature of God. And he said, Chief, I don't understand how you can do that in the society that you live. I mean, there's drunkenness and there's drugs and there's illicit sex going on. It says they got casinos on here and it's bringing all kinds of things. And yet you seem to be able to stay strong. in your walk with the Lord. How do you do that? And the old chief said, two dogs. What? Two dogs. I don't understand, chief. What do you mean, two dogs? Two dogs live in here. Two dogs. They fight all the time. So you got two dogs living and they fight all the time. Well, which dog wins?
Strongest dog wins.
Okay. So which one's the strongest dog?
The dog I feed.
Now in us dwells a human nature. And I'm sorry, we're going to have that until the day we see Jesus Christ. But we also, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and you have Him in you. You have a new, born again, divine nature inside you. The problem is it's sitting on a plate for you to grab a hunk, and we're not doing that, grabbing any of it. We're not living by that Spirit. We're just kind of watching everybody else. Now, what are the signs that we are living according to a mortal, corrupt nature, or whether we're living as partakers of the divine nature? Well, the fact is, you may say, well, listen, we all have our human nature. Nobody can live with the divine nature. And you know what? You'd be right. We can't, but God can. It's the divine nature. It's not our nature. Some people are living a defeated Christian life. They say, well, I just wish I'd get this out of my life. But you're working hard at trying to get this out of your life. In other words, you're doing so in the flesh. Your flesh cannot fight flesh. The only thing that can defeat the flesh is the Spirit of God. Now, Galatians 2:19 says this, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Basically, he's saying, listen, when it comes to what my flesh wants, I'm dead to that. Dead to that. I'm dead to that. I know it's a lie, but I'm dead to it. I don't want to hear it. It's not talking. I'm not hearing you. Because I want the Spirit of God to be guiding and directing me. Now, if we are partakers of the divine nature, let me give you the first one. We will desire and we will be able to keep the commandments of God. Let me say that again. I'm going to give you a verse here in a second. If we are partakers of the divine nature of God, well, it's in us, but we're actually making use of it. We're talking about how to get that later, but if we're making use of the divine nature, we will desire to keep the commandments of God, and we will be able to keep the commandments of God. How many thoughts, I turned over a new leaf, I want to do it right this time, and we go around and we blow it all over again. 1 John 3:24. I'm going to mark this down. 1 John 3:24. This is what it says. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given of us. What's he saying? If my desire is to do right according to the Word of God, that's my heart's desire. He says, why are you doing that? Because it must be God, because your human nature doesn't care. But not only what, he says, listen, I'm going to be able. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. If you're actually keeping the commandments, you're actually doing them, it's because you dwell in him. You're spending time with the Lord. You're spending time with a partaker. You're spending time with the Holy Spirit, not time in the flesh. You're avoiding that time in the flesh. It's amazing how many Christians justify sinful actions. They stretch the truth. They fudge on their taxes. They will even allow someone to believe an untruth if they think it's going to progress their ministry. There are Christians that Christians that justify selective abortions. Pastors will misrepresent their ministries in an effort to make themselves look more successful. And if you're looking, if you're living in the divine nature, you will do unto others as you would have them do to you. That's what all the law and the prophets are. So if you have if you really are a partaker of the divine nature, then you're going to be living by the commandments. You're going to have desire to do it. You're going to be able to do it. Give you another one. If we are partakers of the divine nature, we will be able to love like God loves. Now listen, there's some people, I know some people, I just can't stand that person. I just can't be around that person. Oh, they just grate on me, make my skin crawl. I just can't be around that person. I just hate them. I just can't do it. Just can't do it. I would never hear Jesus Christ saying that. In fact, he went looking for him. 1 John 4:12 says this, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." In the context, what's the Spirit given us? Love. And I'm not saying we fudge on the truth. I'm not saying we justify sin. But you can love that person. You can be kind to that person. It is amazing how many Christians practice conditional love rather than unconditional love. Romans 5:8 says, he commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he... Listen, there's an awful lot of Christians say, well, as soon as that person starts, you know, respecting me, then I'll be able to love him. That's not the way it works. You're the Christian. You're the one with the new nature. You're the one that needs to make the first step. Love them. You might be surprised. They might end up loving you back. Let me say this. Divine nature is the opposite of the nature of the flesh. The divine nature is the opposite of the nature of the flesh. If you got your Bible real quick, you can go to Galatians 5. Do it real quick with me. I'm coming to the end here, folks. Kind of got a late start this morning. Galatians 5:13, familiar passage. How can I tell if I'm partaking of the divine nature or if I'm still living in the sinful human nature? And by the way, you could be living in underneath the divine nature today and this evening, get in the flesh. Really? This is something we got to stay with. Now watch. Galatians 5:13. He says, "Brethren," which means you're saved people, "ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's what a divine nature does. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit," and you can say, be partakers of the divine nature there. "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So you could say, walk in the divine nature, you won't fulfill the desires of the human nature. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusts," or desires, "things that are against the Spirit." For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led by the Spirit," so you're walking by the divine nature, "ye are not under the law." What does that mean? I shouldn't kill people. I shouldn't commit adultery. Bill, you don't know my wife. Now, I'm not supposed to kill people. I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to do all these things, right? All right, I'll obey the rules. A divine nature doesn't even consider those things, because the divine nature is going to keep the law automatically. But frankly, the law, the divine nature doesn't even need the law, because the divine nature is like God. And God wouldn't even think of breaking the law. We become a new creation. Now, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So in other words, here's my human nature. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You say, well, I don't do those things. Yeah, because the rule says you shouldn't. Or you think you're going to get caught. Or you don't want to cheat on your wife because she'll probably cheat on you. See, we rationalize all that, but that's not the divine nature speaking. That's the human nature speaking. The divine nature, it says, no, I wouldn't want to go against God. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. In other words, these are not part of the divine nature. Well, that's just the way I am. I know. Stop it. Yield to the divine nature. Don't be yielding to your human nature. Envies, murders, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, revelings, such like. I tell you before, as I told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we're living in the divine nature, we will produce and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you know what even Christians say? Nobody really lives like that. Well, that's a crying shame, because we could if we were partakers of the divine nature. Apparently, you don't know anybody that's a partaker of the divine nature. God's not lying here. God's not wrong here. There must be something on our side of the equation. This is what things are going to be like around the house and down at the job, or while you're driving down the street. You're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Driving down the road, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Now, if you are a partaker of the divine nature, watch this. You will not be like those who are living in the fleshly nature. Let me say that again. If you are partaking of the divine nature, you're walking in the Spirit. We just read it. You're not going to be doing what they do in the fleshly nature. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 17. Now listen, by the way, he writes this almost identical things to Ephesians, to the Colossians, and to the Galatians. You know why? Because this is something that's normal amongst Christians. It shouldn't be, but it is. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Remember we read that in 2 Peter? He said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He says, that's where the Gentiles are. They're blind. They don't know what they're stumbling. It's like they're walking in the dark. They have no idea what's supposed to be going on. He said, we got Christians who are living just like that. Why? Because they're not being partakers of the divine nature. They've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, but they're not making use of it. Why am I a defeated Christian? Why do I always end up in trouble anyway? Why do I end up in shame rather than in glory? Because we're not partaking of the divine nature. We have it. It's accessible to us, but we're not making use of it. He goes on here. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They've just given up. No one lives like this. No one can live right. We just, let's forget it. Let's just live like the rest of the world. But watch. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So in other words, listen. Remember, we're going to give all diligence to add to our faith. And listen, if we go back here, we're going to find out that there's knowledge of the holy. That's what we need to find. We need to know him. And he says, watch, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old way of life, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, that's the new nature, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Specifically, what's going to change? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak to every man truth with his neighbor. Well, it's not a big lie. It's not going to make a big difference. Is it lying? Listen, every time we lie, when we know we're lying, even if you don't think it's a big deal, and even if you think it's not going to hurt anybody, you know what we just did? This is what we just did. We just told the Holy Spirit to sit down and shut up. I'm going to do what I want. That's what we've just said. We're going to do as we want. You can't tell me you're a partaker of the divine nature when you just told the Holy Spirit to sit down and shut up. And he says, all right, so what's going to come out of our mouth? Human nature, that's what's going to come out of us. We're going to do our own thing. Well, you just don't expect the precious promises of having had the divine nature in your life because you just blocked that off. Be ye angry and sin not. I understand things make you angry, but we don't have to be sinful about it. Well, that's just the way I am. I know. It's your human nature. Stop it. Yield to the new divine nature. Walk in the Spirit. And listen, if you walk in the Spirit, he'll give you the strength to do it. You make the first steps. Watch. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means decaying. That means junk. Corrupt communication. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. What's your conversations like? When's the last time you said to somebody you love, well, that was stupid. What's the matter with you? Don't you have any brains? I'm serious. That's corrupt communication. Is that edifying them? Is that building them up? I don't say lie to them and tell them they're smart if they really aren't. But on the other hand, you tell the truth. You don't have to say everything you know, but you need to tell the truth. But you don't need to cut them down. And then we wonder why we are shooting holes in our relationships. And we just got finished jumping down their throat. Sharp tongue. Sit down, I'll talk to you. I don't need that. You just sit down and be quiet. I'll get to you later. Can you imagine what my wife would say? I've said, just sit down and be quiet. I'll talk to you later. Yeah. Can you imagine? And yet we'll do it to kids. Sit down and shut up. I'll get to you later. Well, kids are people too. You wonder why your kids look at you and say, well, you shut up, mommy. Really? Where do they learn it? You know what we're doing? We're not going to reap the great and precious promises because we've been living in the flesh rather than according to the divine nature. Remember, we reap what we sow. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what he says? All those things would grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to say, you're on your own. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then it says, watch this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. See, bitter. You know when we say bitterness? Well, that's their fault. I'm bitter because of what they did. It's not my fault I'm bitter. I'm bitter because, wait a minute, what happened to forgiveness? Well, you just want me to take it? What did Jesus do on the cross? Forgiving one another, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How did he forgive you? By taking it all on the cross. I'm almost done here, folks. If you're partakers of the divine nature, you're going to have a godly outlook and a biblical worldview. I don't have time. Colossians 3, the first 17 verses. You go home and look at that. Put off anger and malice and blasphemy and filthy mouth. There's a couple conservative talk show hosts that I listen to, and they call themselves Christian. In fact, they kind of wave their flag at what great Christians they are. And their mouth is filthy, vulgar, and vile. And this one particular one, he said he's had folks write in and tell him that, you know, we like where you stand, but just can't stand and listen to you because of all the curse words and stuff you say and so forth and innuendos and all these kind of things. And he says, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way it is. We're going to have to deal with it. I didn't tell you have to listen. You don't listen to them. You know what? He's not walking in the divine nature. Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, I'm not Jesus. No, but you can have the mind of Christ and you can have the divine nature of Christ. Now, I've got to have to stop here. If you're a partaker of the divine nature of God, you will be naturally producing the character of God in your life. Not the character of the world or of the flesh or even or the devil. Things are going to be different. The way you interact with others will not only be different, but it's going to be godly. Love and forgiveness will prevail in your life. You'll flee fornication and other filthy lusts and practices. Honesty and integrity will be your reputation. Your language will not be corrupted, nor will it corrupt others. And these will be natural to you because it's now part of your nature because you are a partaker of the divine nature of God. But don't expect to just work up the divine nature. The divine nature is not of you. So you cannot produce it. The divine nature is of God, and only God controls us as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit in our heart and in obedience. We cannot just walk in the divine nature by accident. We must give all diligence to add to our faith certain things. And if those things be in us and abound, they make us to have that divine nature abounding in us. We're going to take this another step next time. I am asking you, if you want a victory in your Christian life, you need to be partakers of the divine nature. Nothing else is going to do it. There's no other way around it. So you're going to decide today, do I want victory? Do I want them to see Christ in me? Or is it just good enough what I'm doing? That's your question this morning.